Gently close your eyes and allow for that moment of rest to come into your being. Just take a breath. Let's do that again. And feel that beautiful wave of gentle breathing come into your heart. You can even touch your heart if you like. Say hello to your friend in your chest that's been happily working all day while you got to be in the energy of the entourage of Kryon and all of the wonderful presenters here today. And feel the gratitude in your heart in this moment, just simply for this moment. That's all there is this family together. All there is the light that is in each one of us. And all that there is the beings that we are, as we are, together here, to receive the honoring and the wisdom from the messages of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. I bring you a message tonight that is overdue. It's a message of benevolence and love, of beauty, of hope. As humanity starts to turn a corner, away from an old energy into a new energy, it sounds like a trite colloquialism. The old to the new, but this is profound. For the old energy represents staples of consciousness and the ways of being, which are going to be eliminated with a new, more advanced and elegant, evolved consciousness that is coming. And we wish to tell you yet again what to expect. And it centers around one word. There is a time that my partner and his partner will never forget. Not too long ago, in the place that you call India, they had an audience with a man. And the man is known as the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama is respected, renowned, loved by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of human beings who have heard him and seen him, been with him. And he spans, goes over that bridge of what you would call organized religion. For the Christians and the Jews would all sit in his presence. The Muslims would understand when they could see the oneness of God represented in the man. And when he would speak in these groups, there would be a suspension for a little while of any separatism. And the light shone out of him. And there my partner was, about to meet him. He'll never forget it. It's etched into his Akash, which will go through the veil. And he'll remember a time, even in another lifetime, where he met a holy man who was correct and true. The first thing the Dalai Lama did was to grab the hand of my partner and his partner. They were holding hands. It's all my partner could do to suppress weep. Could this really be happening? And in his own cheerful, joyful way, the Dalai Lama mentioned some things, asked some questions. Where are you from? What's going on? And he looked in the eyes of my partner and his partner and made a statement. It's simple, but profound. It's something that he said that anyone who knew him would expect him to say, but my partner got to hear his voice say it to him. And he said, I believe in oneness. Profound it is because this changing consciousness on the planet is changing from separatism to oneness. And it's doing it in subtle ways and not so subtle ways. But you can see it operate so clearly because of what is coming. You can see it operate because separatism is starting to look ugly. And yet that was always the way of it. I want to walk you through predictions, situations, instructions, some of which may surprise you. All given in love and from a source that has seen this before and knows what's coming that is potentially beautiful. Not all at once, dear ones, and we've said this before, but let me plant the seed of what I see. Only a few years past 2012, and already you're experiencing the old staleness of separatism. And it's not feeling good or looking good. Let me tell you where this might go. Because you're going to see the actual coming out from separatism to oneness in the oddest places. I think the most remarkable one that you're going to see, and when you do it, you remember this channel, is in commercialism, in business. Imagine for a moment, I'm going to give you something that is laughable today and could happen tomorrow. Imagine for a moment two soft drink companies who I'll name, Pepsi and Coca-Cola, coming together in one giant pavilion in a conference and inviting everyone to come in and taste their soft drink and enjoy it, because they know that between the two brands, there will be some who want one and some who want the other. But by combining the two into one place, they'll sell more soft drinks. It's not separate anymore, is it? What was the old system? I'll call it competitive war. That's what the old system was, completely and totally separate, completely. And one would say, we have the best, don't do the other. Here's the blindfold test, you're going to like ours better. And the other one will then say the same, and they'll change the brand, and they'll change the taste, and do this and that, all so that they will be ahead of the other one. And suddenly, somewhere, someone is going to have an odd idea. And the boardrooms are going to guffaw and laugh and roll their eyes for a moment. What if we came together knowing very, very succinctly that there is a taste for both on this planet? And that when we come together, we're going to show a oneness that says, we're not going to tell you anything. We have just got some great drinks here. Why don't you come and enjoy them? And for those who have never tasted the one and just tasted the other, there will be some who will make a change and some who won't, and it won't matter. Because in the end, they will have achieved even more than any kind of a commercial war that they would ever have. the end of separatism and the admonishment to others that perhaps the old ways aren't working as well. That some new paradigms coming together would work far, far better. Will you ever see that? And the answer is yes, sooner than you think. The appearance of oneness in any form and the lack of separation is what I'm asking you to look for. Dear ones, those who separate will eventually go into their own corners. Separation creates war. Separation creates mistrust in any form at all. It means there's them and there's you. A oneness brings together two, three, four sides, it doesn't matter, into a coalition, a way of confluence that creates things you didn't expect. I want to talk to Americans in the room. I want you to go back with me and pretend. I want you to pretend you were there at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I want you to pretend that you could see the faces of the founding fathers who started the democracy you have today. I want you to listen to them when they say this is the start of something different. And they're right. Majority rule, minority rights, a chance for everyone. Dissension is okay. Anyone can be successful. What an idea. But they were smart. And even in the creation of your country's constitution, they understood there would be change. There would be amendments. And they understood there would be dissension and party differences, and they would not stop. There would be no coalition of oneness there. They understood the separation was important. But they built the Constitution so that when the two sides would come together, they would make laws that were better. Better because the two sides had come and compromised and negotiated and built laws that would remain to this day in their wisdom and strength because the two sides had put them together. That was then, and that's not happening today. Today it has become separatism. And the idea of oneness is not there, dear ones. It is simply gone. And the founding fathers, if they could see what's happening right now, right today, would weep. And they would say, it's not the way we designed it. It just isn't the way we designed it. We didn't design it to have elections where winner would take all and battle the opposition until the next election, and winner would take all and battle the opposition, and nothing would get accomplished. That's today. Ultimate separatism. Once again, I tell you that what seems to be broken can be repaired by oneness. There will come leadership that understands this. There will be those who would run for the highest office of the land, who will obfuscate what they actually believe on purpose and tell people, I'm a centrist. I believe a lot of the red that is good and the blue that is good, and I'm going to put them together. You elect me for negotiation, not for the party, and not for the color, and not for anything except the ability to come and put this together so that the laws are done and they're strong because of it. And dear ones, when that happens, I want you to remember this channel. Someone is coming. This will be obvious to so many. It is what is needed in order to return to the basic idea The two sides, even three or four, can come together and negotiate for strength, for common sense, without name-calling and without battles. A oneness, even with cultural differences. The idea of separate is going to go by the wayside. And when it does, you'll breathe a sigh of relief. And you'll say, no more of this. Soon, it'll occur to those who will run for the highest office in the land. It'll occur to them so plainly that they must be one who can negotiate, bring together, and never separate again. That's just two areas. There are so many more. But the one I want to talk about, I'll talk about in a way I've never talked about before. On this planet, there are many cultures, and those cultures bring about differences when it comes to spiritual things. Do I have to tell you that even a planet that believes in one God, the beautiful love of one God, is responsible for more wars than anything else, arguing over one God? That is separatism. And the separatism has been there for a long time. The separate that says, my prophet has the truth, yours does not. And this is the staple of the consciousness of the organizations to this day. All of them to this day. For the exception of two, the oldest ones on the planet, who actually are the ones without a prophet. Interesting, isn't it? But I don't want to talk about those. I want to tell you this, that the end of separatism will happen there as well. And you're going to start seeing it. You're going to start seeing it in gentle ways, where the prophet's words and actions and love supersede doctrine. I want to do something I've never done before, and then I want to give you an example, a vision. I want to talk to Christians. Now, I would like to tell you that I'm very aware that most Christians will not be interested in listening. In fact, they will not be listening at all. Because most Christians that are invested in the beautiful Savior that they have are told that only those who believe as they believe are to be listened to. And therefore, these words will not be heard. Not now, but they will be heard. Because there are many who will be alone, and you know who you are, Christian, listening to this right now. Because what I'm going to give you will enhance everything you believe and more. I want to tell you about the man that you worship. It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you were told, even. This man who walked the earth, who had so much happening. I'm going to give you stories tonight that you don't even know that are not in Scripture. It'll make you weep with joy. This man knew God. Not much was told in your Scripture about his background. It seemed like he simply appeared and did his thing. Oh, he studied. In order to get to that place where he was who you worship, there were years where he went through the opposition to what he believed. Remember, he was a Jew. And what he started preaching and what he started looking at, even as a young man, even in training, went so against the grain of everything that was there, they even called him the wicked priest. Wicked because he was against the truth of the land, what the Hebrews knew. But by the time he was Jesus, as you know him, that's what I want to talk about. Here is a man who was ascended in his consciousness, in his DNA, so much higher above anyone else who had ever walked the planet at that moment. The man who could walk on water was the man who could walk on water because he had control over physics. He had control over health, over so many things. There are miracles you never knew he could do. Let me ask you. You were told that he had the multitudes that would listen to him, and you could hear a pin drop. How could the multitudes hear one man on a rock? How could 1,000 people without amplification hear one man on a rock? I'll tell you, they all did, as though he was in their face, talking in their ear with the most gentle, loving voice you can ever imagine. That was Jesus. Did you ever think of that miracle? And then if he talked too long, he fed them with food that wasn't there. That's the Jesus. Did you ever talk about what happened when he went home? No. You just got to hear about the feasts and the meetings and all that. Do you think they let him alone? They slept around where he lived. They followed him everywhere he went because what he had exuded love and compassion and oneness. Exuded it. All you wanted to do was follow him. You could feel it. That's the energy I talked about this morning. That's the energy that has no name yet, that says, I don't know what it is, I want it. And I'll follow you for it. Because it's the love of God. All right, Christian, I want you to listen to this. Did you hear about the Roman centurion? No. Well, I'll tell you. There are so many things you don't know about that enhance this man's beauty, even above that which you read in your scripture from the apostles. The Romans watched Jesus carefully to see if he would say anything that would be against the emperor or Caesar or the politics, and he didn't. Because then they could put him in jail instantly, and he didn't. He talked about love. He said, listen, this is the way of it. It's through me that you're hearing this. Listen, this is the way of it. This is the truth of it. And he talked about the beauty of compassion and of God, not about politics. And the centurion listened. But one time, just the one time, that Jesus turned and looked him in the eye, knew he was there, and there was a silence, and the centurion looked at him in the eye, and it was all over. One glance from the master, one smile from the master, and it melted the centurion's heart, melted it. He left his post, he went home, took off his helmet and his armor, and he took his family and he left. He knew he had to get out of town because that was abandoning his post, but he knew he was wrong in what he had done. He had met Jesus. He had met the Master with one glance. That's who that was. You got a good guy here if you decided to worship, Christian. Let me tell you another thing about Jesus. He looked over the multitudes, and in his wisdom, he knew who the liars were. He knew who the thieves were. He saw the prostitutes and even those who'd killed other people. And he never said a word. Because he was not separatist. He was oneness. The love of God sees them all equally, and he said so. Dear Christian, you have a personal relationship where he can walk with you and talk to you and tell you that you're family. The man was about oneness. There was no judgment. Never. Beautiful. Even above what you think. Can you imagine being there? So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give every Christian listening instructions. This nation predominantly is Christian that I speak in right now, so that's who I'm talking to. And if you will take it from me, I'm going to give you some instructions. You're told by your leadership you should be evangelistic. Good. I'll give you instructions on how it works. I want you to emulate the man you worship. If he could look you in the eye right now and you could be there in any of the assemblies and he could see you right now, he would look at you and say, go and emulate what you see. Go and emulate what you see. If you want followers, I want you to emulate that which is the Christ. When you look upon those around you, I want you to see the oneness that he saw. There weren't categories of those who believed and disbelieved or were doing it right or wrong. There was only love. There was only the compassion that God can give to a man like that who knew God. If you want followers, you will have the compassion of Christ everywhere you walk. And eventually, because of this, and the oneness that you will give, the people will come to you and say, I don't know what you got, but I love it. And that's when you can say, look, why don't you come and have a worship service with me? This is the way you do it. If you want to be fishers of men, this is how you fish. You do it with compassion. And you do it with love. And may I tell you this, you don't do it with separatism. You don't do it by pointing at the others and saying, you got it wrong. Not only that, you're going to die in hell if you don't do it right. You don't make lists that are fearful and push people away. I'll tell you, Christian, that builds a wall. And that's not what your guy did. He never built a wall. Ever. Right to his last breath. Never built a wall. Looked upon his executioners just like he would look upon his mother. Compassion, love, and that's what's attractive. Now, did that hurt so much? Doesn't it make sense that you would emulate the Christ and that that is where it's at? I've got a vision to give you, and the vision will be the end of the channel. It's a metaphor. It's about pillars that are holding up an enormous amount of weight, a roof, a ceiling. There's 5 or 6, maybe 7 of them. And they have to agree and be in oneness because each one shares the load. And I'm going to identify what that load is on top that they're supporting in a minute. None of those pillars can be separatists because they cannot remove themselves from this paradigm, this image, because then the whole structure would fall. You have a pillar, which is the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians. Cultures of this planet will always have differences. They'll always have their prophets. That's not going away. But what's different is this, is that there'll come a time when all of the pillars agree about the oneness. They'll not make the other pillar separate. They will include all of them in compassion. They'll keep their prophet. They'll believe what they believe, and they will be happy they believe it, but they'll not turn to the other one and say, "You're wrong." They'll not turn to the other one and say, "And because you're wrong, we must kill you." That is separatism. That is going away. What is that weight they're holding? I'll give it a name. Because this is the key. The weight they're holding, all of the pillars in oneness together, called peace on earth. It is needed. This is the key. Lack of separatism, especially when it comes to organized religion. Turn to your prophets and the source and relearn what it is you're doing, dear ones. Instead of turning to the rules made by men so long ago to keep you separate. Instead, think of the oneness of the Master and the fact that he never separated out a group. And then think of what you're doing today. There is so much love for all of you to go around. And just like the Pepsi, and just like the Coca-Cola, there will be those attracted to your pillar and to the other pillar, and the billions of people on this earth will live in a peaceful coalition of understanding and oneness, disagreeing perhaps of who might have the best, but including it all. Separateness is starting to fail. You will see it. I mean to offend no one today. I come to you in love and benevolence in an angelic way to say things are getting better. Listen, just listen. You might learn something. And so it is.